Hi, and welcome to Frame Society, where we discuss real-life issues in film. Today's episode actually goes a little, I'd say maybe like a part two of last week's episode, because we also talk about child trauma in this one, amongst other things. But the movie for this week is Shoplifters. It's a Japanese film. Really good. Do watch it before you listen to the episode. And watch it even if you don't listen to the episode. Just watch this movie. It's really good. Let's start this off, Merch.
It's funny. You left the director's name for me. How nice.
Want me to say it? If someone gets this take, it's me for saying it wrong.
Oh, God.
Okay. So, Shoplifters, its director is Hirokazu Koreeda. So, yeah, that's him. Big Bay, right there. Awesome director. Also love, I think it was by him as well, but there's another Japanese film that I love. I think it's the same director. It's After the Storm. Watch it as well. But yeah, Shoplifters. Synopsis. Let's go.
The synopsis today tells us a family of small-time crooks taking a child they find outside in the cold. Super explicit.
Yeah. Doesn't it leave you wanting more, you know? Maybe, I don't know, watch the movie? but there's a lot more. There's a lot more to it than this. But at the same time, there isn't, you know, it's one of those things where...
I mean, it's a good synopsis because that's literally... It's the movie, basically. Yeah.
What happens this is the details of it are what makes it...
Nice.
Yeah, but the story is that, basically. Obviously, there are consequences to taking a child... from the call without, you know, proper planning or proper...
Plan a kidnapping.
Plan a kidnapping and then kidnap a kid. That's the technique.
No, that's not...
Don't do it without planning.
Hold on. Time out. VR, please. That's not what I meant. Not proper planning, but just, you know, not following with what is supposed to, what you're supposed to do when you see a child in the cold, you know? Call the police, call social services, that kind of
thing. That's planning.
Yeah, that kind of planning, not like, I'm gonna kidnap this kid real quick. Not that, no, we don't do kidnapping in this household, guys. Sorry. I misspoke. Yeah. Okay, so that was stressful for me. I don't know if it was as stressful for you.
No, it was just funny.
Yeah. How dare you? Watch your profanity.
I didn't say anything. let's start debunking this film. First, order of business, the idea of poverty and how poverty affects our way of life and how we see the world and not us, but, you know, like the...
I mean, obviously it's gonna affect your life.
Yeah, I know, but just the how poverty is... I don't want to say explored, but how it's...
portrayed.
Yeah, portrayed, exactly. That's a better word. In the movie... I'm going awfully bad with words today.
It's fine.
Don't worry.
This is like... It's okay. Sorry. But yeah, any thoughts?
Yes.
Well...
Say it, Sausage. You can say it.
What? Okay. So... so... I really, in the beginning of the movie, without knowing what's gonna happen and all the oh, what's behind? I just thought, oh my god, what a cute family. You know, I feel like, you know, it's a little bit of a cliche, like, people that, like, poor people are more, like, helpful to each other and are more, like, linked to each other. They have more, like, sense of family than rich. That's a cliche, of course, but that's really how it's portrayed, at least in the beginning of the movie. You feel like, okay, they have a nice relationship to each other. They are really, like, close. You don't really get all of it. You know, there's a grandma, there's a dad, a mom, a kid, and a teenager, and you just, like, guess kind of what's the dynamic of it. But, you know, it's not really... really that. In the beginning, at least you feel like, okay, so it's a kind of normal family. They live all in the same place. You know, it's hard. They do shoplift a bit to survive, but they're nice people, kind people. And I like the way they try to put this situation, like, because it is not that at all, but they make it look so normal at the beginning and so, like, nice that you feel like, oh, I like this family, you know?
Yeah. And even the shoplifting is, it's considered. It's considering meaning. They only shoplift, or for what I understood, they only shoplift in, like, supermarkets, because when they go to shop clothes and local markets, like local... businesses, like the lady who's selling croquettes.
Yeah.
In English, that was the same meaning. I don't know if it's the same thing we eat in Portugal, but it's funny. But it actually, it's it resembles to a lot of people our age say of supermarkets. Are like, oh, it's okay to steal, to shoplift from them, because they belong to a big corporate, and it's no big deal if we steal, because they won't even notice, or they have a lot of money coming from everywhere, so what's their problem? We are in much need than them. So it was interesting to see that point of view.
Yeah, there's
you really feel like they're in need. So you kind of, like, of course stealing is not right. It depends how you see the problem. But let's just agree that stealing is not right. But you feel like they're in need. So it's fine, I guess. You can accept the fact that they shoplift a bit.
Yeah, you know, and to even survive. The mom, that's later in the film, but she says this thing to the kid, to the boy, to Shota.
Yes.
That when they're talking about shoplifting, she says, well, you know, if the store doesn't go bankrupt, if you're not doing harm to it, then it's okay. If not, then don't. And he comes across a store that's closed for, you know, the owner is in grief, and he it's like a kiosk for, you know, like cigarettes.
It's a small shop.
Yeah, a small shop. Yeah. And he used to steal small trinkets, not too much, but just
from there. Yeah.
Yeah. And the old man was really nice to him, and he knew he was shoplifting, and he even warned him about, you know, the kid that the family ends up picking up, which is a little girl called... well, she has a lot of names throughout the movie, but she's Yuri at that time. He says, you can do it, but please don't make your sister do that. And so when he sees the store closed, since he doesn't know how to read the paper that says the owner is going through grief and he's mourning someone, his first instinct is, oh no, we made the shop, maybe the shop went bankrupt, and he feels guilty for that. So I thought that was interesting how different their relationship is with different establishments, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
The parents kinda, thought Shota, like, really good things, kinda. They taught him to steal, okay, that's a bad thing, but they taught him to take care of others, and they have a really interesting bond. The first time that you see it is when they are with the Yuri or Lin or whatever you want to call her, the kid. And so she's taking place in this new, in the home, and he's feeling like, you know, she shouldn't be there because she's not his sister. And that's the point when you see that he doesn't call his dad dad. After mm-hmm. we understand why. But at this point, we just feel, oh, he doesn't call his dad dad. That's kind of sad. It gets dark. It gets a lot. It gets dark. Yeah. But at this point, you feel like there's a thing between the dad and the kid that seems to be broken. And the dad really needs to feel appreciated by the kid, and you see that throughout all the movie, him insisting on the kid calling him dad, and you know, I don't know, it's a cute bond. I like the their dynamics, at least in the beginning of the movie. I thought it was cute. Even the mom that looks like kind of more cold,
mm-hmm.
when she understands where Yuri or Lin. Or Judy, or however you want to call her, comes from, and her background, she doesn't want to, because basically, Yuri is like
being her abused. Parents,
exactly, by her parents. Yeah, and so when her mom noticed that, when she tried to get her back to her house, she's like, you know, she might be better with us. Like, we poor, we cannot really like take much care of her, but we are loving and we are caring and we can like provide her a house and a real family. And so, you know, they are all so nice. I mean, at least that's how they act in the beginning.
There's this thing that, you know, follows, I guess, through the movie. It's this idea of the bond that you are born with, the family bond that you are born within, and the family bond that you create, that you choose. And, you know, since I think we need to clear this up because we are hinting at it a lot. You know, this family, because it is a family at the end of the day, is a family of outcasts. So they're not necessarily, I don't think, none of them are related by blood. There's not a single...
Yes, no, they are.
The grandma.
The grandma and the teenager. It's actually a real grandma. That's the only bond that's, like, by blood.
Yeah, okay. Well, but there's mostly no blood, you know. And so the whole family is an outcast of society or of their own families for different reasons. And... yeah, okay, let's debunk this mystery of a family. So, first of all, you know, Yuri, Turi, Lin, or whatever. She has many names, but her given name, her legal name, is Judy. That's the name her biological family
parents,
gave her. Gave her. Mm-hmm. Even though she's called by the other two more. Obviously, she's... beaten by her parents, and she's left out in the cold when they are angry at her, and she's not well taken care of her. She has scars and bruises, and she's overall a very traumatized kid, basically, that's rescued from this situation by the couple that... you don't end up knowing if they're really married or not, but you know at the end of the movie that they were, the woman, the mom had, she was married before, and she had an affair with the guy that is now the dad of this family of outcasts, and they, you know, committed a crime of passion, of self-defense, and killed,
the husband.
The husband.
former husband.
Her former husband, in an attempt, from what we know, to protect themselves from being attacked. Well, we never know if that's true or not. That's what we are told at the end of the movie. And then the grandma was basically abandoned by her family because her husband remarried. So her whole family turned her back on her. And she was living alone. And this couple found her. And basically this grandma kind of adopted this runaway couple that was ostracized for killing an abusive former husband. And then this couple found a baby in a car. We don't know if the baby was just in the car. We don't know if he was, you know, locked in a car on a very hot day. We don't really know the specifics of it, but they saw a baby inside a car and they rescued the baby from the car and kept the baby. And that baby is Shota. And actually, Shota is also the real name of the dad, his legal name. But almost no one in this family uses their legal name, which is something kind of funny. And then the teenager is actually, as we said, the grandchild of the grandma. But she left her family and she came to live with her grandma. The family, from what we can tell, they don't really care about where she is or how she's doing because they claim to talk with her and know she's doing well in Australia when she's in the same town as them and being a call girl for money. So
it's a little bit more than a call girl.
Yeah. But let's leave it at that, maybe.
They basically reject from society, all of them.
Yeah.
Like abandoned childs, runaways, murderers.
Yeah.
A grandmother was like abandoned by her husband and family, and a girl. We don't really know why the girl
left
went away.
The family.
Yeah, we know that her grandma told her to come live with her, and she did. She did it. We don't really know why. We know that she has a really special bond with her grandmother. And we kind of understand that there's like kind of this sibling jealousy because she do have a sister. And we understand kind of that there's a problem in the dynamics. Like her sister is clearly the favorite of the parents.
And she uses her sister's name as an alias for her call girl job. Which is, you know, I guess that says a lot about their relationship as siblings.
Nice revenge. But yeah, and they all, like, the grandma kind of is beneficiating from this situation because she is earning money from the girl's parents when she go visit them. I don't know why. Maybe just because, but
I think I understood that because, you know, I think the thing is, I don't think the girl's parents really know where she is or what she, I don't think they just...
They don't.
They just, yeah, they don't,
care. They just don't care.
Yeah, they just, it's almost as if she doesn't exist. And so, yeah. They don't know that the girl is with her grandma, clearly. I think the money is a way for them to feel less guilty about abandoning a part of their family because everyone turned their back on the grandma when her husband divorced her. And so when she goes to pay her respects to her late husband, I feel like, you know, that might be... I don't know if it's a cultural thing as well. I don't know. But that's a thing they do when... I guess.
Yeah, they give her money. But, like, she never told that to the girl. She never said, yeah, her parents are giving me money for that or that reason. She just, like, kept... She gambles. The grandma gambles. So it's really nice. Honestly, there are all those, like, kind of toxic traits that just, like, when you start the movie, you're just like, oh, cute. Then by the end, you just feel like, what?
Yeah.
And I really felt empathy towards those people.
Exactly.
Even at the end, you'd be like, of course I feel empathy because they're still cute and they're still whatever. And you feel like they're nice people. Like, overall, and they're nice people. But you kind of feel like, but they did bad things. Or what society assumed to be bad things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So...
the interesting thing, the interesting thing about it, when you reach that part of the movie, it's exactly that. It changes the your perspective and the way you see things in such a way, because in our vision, for most part of the movie, because this only happens at the last 40 minutes, and the movie has a total of 2 hours, so it's quite a lot, and... and throughout the entire part of the movie, you have this vision of people who are together. You don't know anything about it. Yeah, the whole thing we're talking about just now. But at the end of it, you're like... actually, before we go to that, I was watching the movie and I was actually thinking, oh God, what would have happened if they went to the police and... told what was happening to the little girl and the reason why they kept her. I think in reality they were just trying to not get into trouble, and because they already that reason of because the shoplifters
they're runaways.
They can't
go to the police. That's not possible.
The thing is,
that's a reason.
Most of their toxic or bad decisions, as society would brand them, are made out of self-preservation, you know? And that's one of the main reasons why you are able to maintain that empathy, you know? Yeah, they are murderers, but they... also, you spend, like, 2 hours with them. That helps. But, you know, they are murderers, but from what you know, and from what you know of them, and you get to know them, and they are very warm people. So... yeah. You don't know if that's true or not, but you can believe that they did that to protect themselves. And the kids, you know, the shoplifting, they don't really, you know, you see all their ups and downs with their work. They try, it's not like they don't try to work,
they do, try.
But it just never works out well, and so they end up shoplifting. The gambling, I don't know, passing the time. It's
the gambling. I mean, it's a lonely grandma.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, we all have our vice and our like bad activities. I guess we all like to do stuff that are not officially like you know acceptable. You know, some people smoke, some people drug themselves, some people gamble. I mean, that's life. And, I mean, you know, it comes from a place where I don't think we empathize with them because they have valid reasons to do what they did. I think we empathize... Jesus Christ. I think we empathize with them because they show us, like, so much humanity and so much kindness with each other. They take care of each other. You see, like, the bond, you see the love, you see the caring, and you understand that those people are just normal people that want to live a normal life, and they tried their best to live it. Even when the girl, you know, that do call girl stuff, she doesn't do it because she likes it or because she have to do it or whatever. She does it because she needs the money and because she needs a little bit of love, a little bit of attention. And that's one way she find to get it. And it's, I don't know. There's this scene with the guy that, you know, when they're in the chat room or whatever, and they're just talking, and you know, I don't know, they don't like exchange much words, but it's so beautiful. I love this scene, I don't know why. And it's like it happens in such a depraved place where you feel like nothing good can happen and nothing human can happen, and you really do see her humanity and his humanity and how much they suffer and how much they need love, they need that. I don't know, it's like...
Yeah. You see how they...
I love this scene. This scene is so beautiful.
Yeah.
They're suffering in silence. You actually see when she hugs him. She's about to leave and she hugs him and he's like, oh God, super teary-eyed, and he even cleans the tear from her leg and he's super disturbed and she's just, come on, give me a hug, like, we can do it.
Yeah. And when he tries to speak and can't, he's like stuck on that, like, you know, it's very, I don't know, very emotionally charged. And there's no information given.
Yeah, you don't know nothing about him, and he never appears again. And you just feel like, you know, it's not just one person, one figure that appears. It's like, I like the fact that all characters in this movie, or almost all characters, not talking about the policemen, because those are like, you know, society, what represents society and power in society is really represented as just figures without feelings.
Yeah.
And they're just there to maintain the law and to maintain I don't know, the right things. And all the others that are usually considered depraved, outcasts, they are representing so humanly. And so even like the shop owner that, you know, says to Shota not to let his sister shoplift, or this guy at the, you know...
brothel,
yeah, that thingy,
the portal, kind of. It's just like they're appeared once, and they're so human, and they have so much thing in them. I mean, I love this movie for that, and I think it's really like a nice movie for that.
Yeah, you even feel mad.
I can get
at
behind
the policeman. You feel mad at the policeman when they caught
when they caught Shota, and they eventually get everyone else near the end. The thing is, you know, there's this thing about the system that they portray, that, you know, they're all trying to, you know, the people we follow throughout the whole film, they are trying to explain why and how they went through these things. And especially one thing that almost all characters, especially the mom, ask is about Churi and how she's gonna live. And she's back with her family. Like,
family.
Everyone knows how bad of an environment that is. And they lie to every single member of the family and say, oh, she said she wanted to go back. Which she never says once during the movie. And we don't ever see her even saying that to the policeman. And when we see, is one thing is when we see the drawings she does for them, she draws a day at the beach, which is the most wholesome part of the film.
Yeah.
They're just enjoying themselves as a family. She draws her two grandmas, her biological one that she mentions at the beginning of the film, and the grandma of this family as angels. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh no, I didn't.
They're at the, you know, they're two
at
angels
at the top. Yeah,
that's cute.
And they ask, how many people were with you at the beach? Just five.
Just five. Yeah, because she get that she needs to lie. That's the thing from the scene. What I love, like, when the grandma is just looking at them and saying thank you. And, you know, like, you feel that she's happy and she's fulfilled. And you know she's gonna die.
Yeah.
Like, you know it. She's just looking at them and saying thank you. And you feel like, oh, no.
Yep.
I don't want this scene to end. I don't want this scene to cut to another one. Because I know, like, once this scene is over, she'd be dead.
And she does. Like,
and she does. Next scene, she did. But at least, like, you know, I like the way she died. She died during night, supposedly without suffering, because we don't have any proof of suffering, of course. So, and she was happy because the day before she was, like, saying thank you, blah, blah. And she died next
to her
grandchild.
Yeah.
And that's My friend is beautiful.
Yeah, she was surrounded by love and by the ones she loved most.
That was what she said at the beginning of the film. Like, I know you're living from my pension, but this is me making a retirement in investment. I don't want to die alone. That's what she says. I don't want to die a lonely death. And she accomplishes that. They give her that. They give her family on her final days. That's, you know, like...
That's beautiful.
Still makes me teary-eyed.
And I also love, at the end, when, you know, the last two shots we see is, like, Shota calling his dad for the first time.
That's as beautiful. He leaves him.
I cried, goddamn. And you see Lynn, because I'm not calling her Judy, I'm sorry, that's not her name. You see Lynn, checking the streets where she was found. You know, she's on the balcony and she's just like checking. Like, it's there's so much hope in this shot. You feel like she's waiting for them to come back and get her.
Probably.
And so I feel so. Since. But I mean, you know, she's just waiting for them and she knows that one day they'll come back or one day she'll be able to meet with them again because, of course, the situation is not really good for that, but
not really.
I mean, it feels so great, this shot, and also the teenage girl going back to her grandma's house.
Yeah,
I feel so great. The end of the movie is sad, but it's really like warm, and you feel like great. Yeah, it's not a happy ending, it's just like a nice ending.
Yeah, it's the full thing, feeling, the good thing about Shota is when he. I'm not saying he doesn't recognize, but when he calls his dad, his, you know, adoptive, you know, dad by dad, is when they both let go of each other. Yeah. Because both know that even though they love each other very much, Shota can never learn as much as he needs to and as much as he can with them. He needs to let go and live at the orphanage where he was sent to, which is a good orphanage from what we know. We're not sure. We never really see it. And he needs to go to school and he just, you know, he shows a very big interest in fishing. So that seems like a good sign. and he knows a lot about that. And
he is a smart kid.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I think that's good. And when they see the mom, which she's in prison by then, because she decided to pay the price for the whole family. She said she did everything alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. When in the interrogation room, the lady that's interrogating her says, "You don't just become a mom, you need to give birth to become one." Yeah. But she becomes a mom in that moment when she takes the blame for everyone and she protects the rest of family.
I think she became a mom
the moment they got Lynn.
Much earlier.
Yeah.
Much earlier. She was a mom. I'm sorry. But taking care of a kid doesn't mean you need to, like...
Birth it.
You know?
Birth it.
Or all adoptive moms are not moms. And we know that's not true. Being a mom, you know, you can birth a child tomorrow and do not care about it, like Lynn mom's biological mom do.
Yeah.
You know, she does just care about her or whatever. We don't care. She's a bad person. I don't want to know. You know, being a mom is so much more than just like the active.
Yeah.
You know.
I think so too. And I do believe she was a mom even when we began.
She was not the best. She was not the best mom, but she was a great mom.
I mean, she knew how to love her children at least.
She did everything she could to protect them.
So
that's nice.
There's that, and there's just, I don't know, there's the thing, the decision she makes of telling Shota, like, "We found you at this place, at this parking lot, in this car, with this, like, license plate. If you ever want to find your real family, you have the information. If you don't, that's fine as well. But I don't want to lie to you anymore. Yeah. You need to choose how you want to live your life. And the whole thing, that one of the most important, like, one of the things that most touched me is them as parents, they always give the kids the choice. You see that with Lynn. Every time they make a decision about her, they ask her, what are you going to do now? What do you want to do? Are you going to come with us home or are you going to go back to your family? Do you want us to drop you off? Do you, what you want to do? Just tell us. And that, just that posture, you know, it's very, I don't know, it's just very heartwarming.
Yeah.
How they treat their children as equals, not just, you know, punching bags.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. You can almost consider this a bit of a Stockholm Syndrome situation, considering they kind of hid things from Shota, like the thing about school. He didn't know he could go to school. He thought that you could only... I don't remember what he said.
Only kids that can't study at
home that go to school are the one that goes to school.
And when he goes, he's at the police station and they're explaining to him that that's not how it goes, because the things you learn at school are also like making friendships and all that. He's like, oh, socialized. I have no idea. And it's kind of interesting because you feel a bit, not mad, but torn, because in a way they kept him, they made their own world and reality in their own house. Oh God, I can't believe this happened again. Oh, it's always when I'm talking. I don't know what's happening.
Sorry.
Welcome back.
Haunted.
Sorry.
It's the spirit from last session. Oh my God.
Dude, can you just let us finish the episode, like, for real?
Please. Yeah, just 20 minutes more, like, more
for context, I went away. My computer, like, went down, basically.
But
I'm back.
But you returned quickly, and that's
back great. Streets back.
Shana's back in this case. There ain't no bye in this episode.
That's not Backstreet Boys.
I know, but it's the same vibe.
Conjoining two boy bands with amazing songs.
Yeah, exactly. They're both two boy bands with amazing songs. I don't know why
that's a
you're
fact.
Getting
that's
so pressed.
You cannot compare them.
No, not comparing. Just
two. I'm not comparing. Things. I'm just.
They're different.
I don't know what I was talking about. But yeah, it could be Stockholm Syndrome again. Damn it, situation. But at the same time, it could be another. It's the Stockholm Syndrome thing. Also, is related to that thing of oh, you have to see this through other people's eyes so you can understand it. But when you see it through the law's eyes and the police's eyes, because they are thinking of the law it's a bit harsh. And
the Stockholm syndrome, Jesus Christ, involves a situation of danger, and you know, usually that's a way of victim surviving. If they're just like, you know, they, for example, I mean, the Stockholm syndrome was born in Stockholm when, you know, that I don't remember, but I know there was like probably a bunch of
it was something like that, a bunch of
yes, there were more than one people, and they just like agree with the
they sympathize with their kidnapper, with their
because they thought like it was the only way for them to get out of the dangerous situation. Shota never was in danger, or at least we never see him in danger with them. So I don't think he would like do that. I think the thing with school and what's important with school is not the learning, like knowledge, whatever. It's learning to socialize. Shota never went to school because when you see Shota, he knows how to read, he's a really smart kid, and you understand that he is smart and he learned things. The only thing he didn't learn was to socialize, because they live in on the margin of society. They don't belong in it. They're outcasts. And that's funny when the policeman is telling Shota, you're going to go to school because you need to meet people, to talk with people and to make friends, because that's how it works. And you don't have a choice, kind of, you know? I'm not saying, like, don't go to school, kids. Of course, go to school. It's important. Socialize, make friends.
Eat your veggies. You
know? But I thought it was a nice way to put the fact that it didn't really need to socialize before that. And it just going to school for that, of course, not, that's not really that, but that's the main focus. Like, the policeman could say, because you need to learn math and Japanese and whatever, you know, the basics. It didn't say that. It said, you need to learn to socialize with people. And, you know, you need to make to be a part of society. That's basically what it told them. And that's the point, I think, with school, yeah. With the school thing.
Which is actually a great way for him to approach the school thing. Because he could have said what you were saying, the subject thing. You need to learn all these stuff. And no, he, yeah. Oh my god, I'm being spammed by my family. I'm sorry. Video shared.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's funny to see how Shota evolves. Because Shota has this, he is the kid. And he is innocent, but not as much innocent as Lin is. Because yeah. Lin is, like, she's 4 or 5, so yeah. Of course she does not have the same understanding of the world as Shota have. And I like Shota, you know, he evolved. And I like the fact that the movie ended, that was the second time I watched it. When the movie ended, I was just like, this is not the end. I want, like, Shota, when he gets to his 18, 19, 20, go back to his family and whatever. They can live again together and be all happy and society will accept them. I don't want to stay on that, like, sad notes. Yeah. And I like that.
Even, you know, they, especially the kids, you see a lot of their growth. Shota learns how to share a lot, because he initially has a bit of trouble accepting Lin as part of the family, but he ends up, you know, caring for her and protecting her like a real brother would. And yeah, that's a very pretty thing to see. And him growing up, him talking about, you know, getting an interest in boobs.
And boobs.
And, like, you know, with his dad. And just talking about starting his preteen, like, teen adventure.
That's nice.
That's a funny and interesting, you know, dynamic to see. And even Lin, when she goes back to the house, she's not the same. When her mom tries to beat her and be like, come here, come sit next to me, say sorry, and she doesn't say sorry, and then, like, come sit next to me, I'll buy you clothes after, and she's like, nah, bitch, I'm not moving, and she's just stays in her place. Of course, when we, last year, her mom banished her to the balcony, but she stood her ground, and to see her get strength and confidence, even though she's, you know, a baby, from the family that she got. I don't know. I thought that was really. And even the way she speaks, at the beginning she barely speaks, and then you reach the end and she's like this talkative, super cheerful kid, always, you know. I don't know. I think the kid's development during the film is also, you know, phenomenal.
Yeah.
And not only the kids, the parents too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody. Basically, even like the teenage girl that doesn't have a lot of spotlight in the movie, she, like, I don't know. You know, she's still attached to her grandma. But I think it's a nice thing. I don't know. You know, even when the policeman told her, yeah, she was receiving money from your parents. She still loves her. And it's still her grandma. And it's basically the woman that gives... They gave her everything she had. So, and all she had was love. That's beautiful. Yeah. With Stan.
Cool.
I love this movie so much. I mean,
yeah, it's I don't know. To be honest, I finished watching it like oh, 20 minutes before we started recording. So I'm still processing
in it.
Yeah, I'm still feeling the vibes.
Still, you know what's the glow up I preferred? The mom's glow up. In the beginning of the movie, you know how she like she doesn't take much care of herself, she just like faded in the background, and by the end you feel that she got more beautiful. She feels like more confident and more out there, and I don't know, she just feel more like, I don't know, her I don't know.
She changes.
I'm putting too much thought and too much emotion on it, but she just feel more like vibrant.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like she just feel like she got back her colors and her happiness. Ah, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, I thought that too. And the way she, you know, when she gets fired from the compensation money, she gets a couple of cosmetics. I thought that was cute. You know, like, of course they're going through difficulties, but that moment, it's like, you know, you see that she needed something for herself. And she's like, you know, don't worry, this wasn't expensive. She even says about her nightgown, she's like, this looks expensive, right? But it was like, I don't know, super cheap. Not expensive. I don't know the currency, sorry. And even she says about the creams and everything, it wasn't that expensive. We can all share or whatever. But I just thought it would make me look better, make me feel better. That thing of, you know, self-care. Just, yeah. It's really nice to see.
Indeed.
It is.
My dude's talking about family. My family is really pushing me to video chat, so... I think we need to end this episode early. I'm so sorry.
Well, I mean...
That's sad.
Yeah, that's a bit sad. But, well, this movie is also...
Dang it!
Blame my family.
I mean, we're almost at, like, the 40, 50 mark, so...
Yeah, cool. we're almost there, so
but,
it's fine. It's
you know,
fine.
There's also you this movie...
Enjoy your family, be, like, loved by your family, and care, and whatever.
Yeah, it's for a great reason. It's for something for my dad's birthday present. It's not today. His birthday is on the 4th of February, but we're video chatting to make a video for him. Yeah, so that's it.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah,
that's very cute. I hope that goes
family,
well.
Family, people, family.
Yeah, and, you know, to finish the episode off, we talked a bit about the movie and how we felt during certain aspects of it and certain characters, but this movie is an experience in itself. And so I think that ultimately, unless you see it, you will never get the feeling that we're talking about. Other movies that we've talked about, you might escape by not watching it. But there are some movies that you can get what we're saying from the story in itself. But I think this is one of those movies where you just really have to watch it. And, you know, the photography and the sound is beautiful in this movie as well. So it's just a very special experience to have. And so we really recommend you watch it.
Yeah.
We're really pushing the watch it agenda on this
watch
one.
It.
It's always worth it. Even if you don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, even if you don't like it, watching a movie is always great. First, because you can, like, understand more what you like and what you don't. Mm-hmm. And that's great. That's great, knowing yourself, you know, a little bit of, ooh, you. But it's also great to see even movie that you don't like or movie that you think that you're not gonna like, because sometimes it can surprise you. And second, maybe even if it doesn't surprise you and even if you don't like it, you still end up learning some few things.
Yeah, expand your
about, that is true. Yeah, about life, love, whatever you wanna, you know, learn. It's fine. Like, cinema is the greatest experience on earth. Just so you just,
preach.
Yeah. Not that we're biased or anything.
No, we're not biased.
Not really.
But, yeah, just we hope you enjoy this episode. As always, you can check out what we're doing. We're still working on that thing, on that poll from last week.
Yeah, yeah, about I thought of that.
Childhood crushes. We will get to that, I promise. I promise we will get to that. But as always, you can interact with us through our social media. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and you have everything on our link tree as well. Just let us know what you thought about the episode, and we hope you stick around for more, hopefully. And yeah, we just hope you enjoy our rant and our company and exploring all these amazing movies and themes and just, you know,
yep, everything,
getting to life. Learn, yeah, life. Getting to know life a little bit better. So yeah, I guess this was it for this week, guys.
Yep,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.